experience. You know, they seemed to enjoy themselves. And you stayed to... He smiled ruefully, shaking his head like he was disappointed in himself. I thought I should, just to make sure... To make sure the book club party didn't trash the place? She asked with a teasing smile. He laughed. They seem like they can get wild. I believe it. He held her gaze. And I wanted to make sure you were okay, with the storm and everything.
I am.
Clearly.
But I'm glad you're here anyway.
His lips curled up, that beautiful, perfect smile directed right at her, and the room got warmer.
Me too.
So you'll stay?
His gaze slipped and landed on her mouth for just a breath before tracking up to her eyes again. She had been right after all. He did feel it too.
Yeah, I'll stay.
And now that they were stuck here together for as long as this storm lasted, Kira found herself hoping the weather wouldn't clear up any time soon. Chapter 16. Kira had been inching closer to him all morning, and by afternoon, she had her legs draped over his and her face pressed against his shoulder as they started their second holiday movie of the day. Apparently, Kira had not only fixed her heat problem, she'd also bought a new router and now had working Wi-Fi in her living room. She was right. She didn't need his help. Kira wasn't using him. She wasn't Nicole. And unlike all of the women he'd dated this year, he actually liked spending time with her. If anything, him staying here wasn't some selfless act of imagined heroism. It was selfish. He wanted more of Kira, and with her currently pressed against him, he thought maybe he could have her. Just for a little while. He could have her. Luckily, he was back in his own clothes. That robe hadn't provided much protection between him and Kira's warm body in his lap. Jeans were slightly safer, although not by much. He was trying very hard to focus on the convoluted premise of the movie, but Kira's body was incredibly distracting. And now that he'd stopped worrying about replacing one bad habit with another, all he could think about was the other ways they could be spending their time together. Other less nice ways. He shifted a little, and Kira rearranged her legs. They were long and lovely, and he wanted to peel off her leggings and kiss them from ankle to... She giggled next to him, and he marveled at the soft sound, like she was showing him a completely different side of herself.
"This part is so absurd," she said, gesturing to the laptop that was balanced precariously on a throw pillow on the coffee table. "I mean, her best friend can't even tell that's not her. As a twin... I can tell you, it's not actually that easy to switch places with someone, even if you share 100% of their DNA. And she just swapped places with a princess. There's no way.
I think she's a duchess. Whatever. So, she's just acting with herself right now?
Yep. By the third movie, she's playing three characters.
There's a third one?
Kira laughed.
Yep.
Bennett groaned, and she elbowed him in the side.
Hush, or I'll throw you out in the snow.
He chuckled and moved, so that his arm was draped around her shoulder.
"I thought you didn't even like Christmas," he said.
She peered up at him. "What makes you say that?"
"Well, you have zero decorations in here. You don't even have a Christmas tree, and you own a Christmas tree farm. And you cringe every time you hear a Christmas song. Christmas music is objectively terrible." She crinkled her nose at the thought, and God, she was cute. When she wasn't trying to scare him away. "And yet you love these objectively terrible movies."
"Hey, this movie is a cinematic masterpiece."
His laugh rumbled through them, and Kira nuzzled in closer. Her body was so warm and right. He hadn't felt like this in so long, like he clicked with someone, like he could actually imagine wanting to be with them.
"Why do you love them so much?"
She sighed.
"Watching crappy Christmas movies was one of the few holiday traditions I liked. Me and Chloe, every year, we watch the worst ones and eat our weight in Christmas cookies and do our best to avoid my mother's overplanned events."
Sounds fun.
It was.
Except the year we tried to make it a drinking game.
Less fun?
Well, less fun because they said the word mistletoe so many times I almost got alcohol poisoning. And Chloe nearly ran bare-ass naked through my mother's famous Christmas Eve party. But luckily she passed out in the hallway before she made it downstairs.
Wow.
Yeah. Poor Elaine, our housekeeper, had quite a shock in the morning.
I bet.
Don't worry. I gave her an extra good Christmas gift that year.
What did you get her?
Kira huffed a disbelieving laugh.
Cash?
Oh, right. I'm guessing your Christmases were a bit different.
Yeah. I mean, there was no household staff and no big parties and definitely no naked drinking games, but we had fun.
Did you wear matching pajamas and sing around the Christmas tree?
Bennett laughed, his breath rustling Kira's hair. Her head was tucked right beneath his chin.
Nothing quite that cute. We used to see all my cousins on Christmas Eve, and we'd do a secret Santa gift exchange.
That's pretty cute.
Not that cute.
We liked to mess with each other and tried to one-up each other on giving the worst gift.
Who won?
Probably my cousin Andrew, the year he got me a bottle of lube when I was 16.
Kira burst out laughing, and he couldn't help but join her. In hindsight, it was kind of hilarious. At the time, he'd wanted to crawl under the tree and die.
Lube?
Yep. I opened it in front of my grandma. It was mortifying.
Oh, God, no!
It got worse when she saw what it was and said, "Oh, good, a practical gift. You'll get lots of use out of that." Kira was nearly rolling off the couch with laughter now, gasping for breath as she sat up.
That is amazing.
At the time, it was the worst. I didn't masturbate for, like, months after that. Every time I saw the lube, I thought of my grandma.
Kira snorted.
Why did you keep it, then? She was laughing so hard tears were streaming down her face, and the trauma of his grandmother commenting on his lube usage was totally worth it for this moment of seeing Kira completely undone.
I don't know. It seemed rude to throw a gift away.
He laughed, too, more than he had in a while. The kind of laughter that makes your stomach hurt and you forget why you're laughing, but you can't seem to stop. It felt good. It felt like maybe he'd been missing something for a while and hadn't noticed, hadn't even realized it until right now.
Kira sighed, wiping her eyes with the back of her hand.
Thanks, she said, still smiling at him. I needed that.
Yeah, I think I did too.
She held his gaze, her hazel eyes warm in the glow of the fire. He wanted to kiss her. He wanted to pull her close to him again. He wanted her naked and panting beneath him. He suddenly wanted a lot from Kira North.
How about lunch? She said.
Sure.
Okay, follow me. I'm sure we can find something.
He grabbed her hand and pulled her back down to the couch. Her eyes went wide.
Wait.
His voice was gruffer than he'd meant it to be, but he'd spent the morning with Kira curled around him, her breasts against his arm and her legs nudging his cock, and he just needed to know which way this day was headed. Was there a chance this could go further?
Okay.
Can I do something first? Kira arched an eyebrow, a small smile tugging at her lips, like she knew exactly what he wanted to do, and she wanted it too.
What is it you want to do, Bennett?
He brought a hand to her face, cupping her jaw, his fingers in her hair, the nape of her neck. Her eyes fluttered closed.
Oh, there's a lot of things I want to do. But how about we start with this?
He dipped his head and kissed her, a soft touch, a gentle nudge of his mouth against hers, so light that he could feel the delicate curve of her smile.
That's a good start, she whispered, pressing her forehead to his for a breath. Let's try a few more things.
She kissed him back, and he knew then that she'd been thinking about this just as much as he had. There were things she wanted to do to him, too, ways she wanted to kiss him and touch him, and it was nice to not be in this feeling alone. She ran her fingers through his hair as she deepened the kiss, her tongue sweet and warm against his.
A soft groan rumbled in her throat, and Bennett was undone. His hands were on her waist, and he was pulling her on top of him before he could think better of it. He kissed her, deep and strong and urgent. Now that this experiment had started, he didn't want to stop. She straddled him, those beautiful legs bracketing his, and he traced her thighs with his fingers. Kira wriggled in his lap, and he thought he might die. "Kira," he ground out, stilling her hips with his hands. She looked at him with a wicked grin on her beautiful mouth. "I think I was wrong about you," she said, rocking just slightly forward. He groaned and dropped his head to the back of the couch.
"Oh, yeah?"
"Yeah. I thought you were too wholesome." She whispered the words against his exposed neck, following them with her tongue. Bennett squeezed her ass, and she yelped.
"Too wholesome because I didn't grab your ass in public?"
She laughed, breathy and low.
"No, you just seem too nice. You're not like the guys I'm usually attracted to."
"Because you're usually attracted to assholes."
"Basically, yes."
She rocked again, and the friction was too good. It had been too long. Things were about to get decidedly less wholesome if Kira kept doing that.
"But you're attracted to me," he rasped.
"Mm-hmm." She purred against his neck, where she was back to kissing him, her teeth scraping gently across his skin.
"Yes, definitely." "And you're attracted to me?" she asked, her eyes meeting his again.
And it was an absurd question, considering how his erection was pressed against her core. But if she needed him to say it, he sure as hell would.
"Have been, since the moment I met you."
"Liar," she said with a breathy laugh.
"It's true."
"Scout's honor," he said, with a teasing smile, dipping his head to kiss her neck, wrapping his arms around her.
"You weren't a scout," she said between giggles and sighs, as he sucked the delicate skin between her shoulder and her neck.
Bennett didn't typically believe in things like pheromones, but he couldn't think what Kira smelled like, other than something he wanted. He breathed her in.
"Okay, so maybe not since that very first moment, but every moment since."
He brought his face back to hers and found her with a charming blush on her cheeks.
"You are gorgeous. You must know that."
She rolled her eyes like she was tired of hearing it, but a shy smile played around her lips.
"Still nice to hear it every once in a while."
And the way she said it made him think she hadn't heard it nearly enough.
"Those assholes you dated must not have said it enough."
He kissed her again, unable to stay away, now that they'd started.
"You are fucking beautiful."
"Language, Bennett. I'm shocked." He grinned.
"Bet I can think of plenty of other ways to shock you."
She kissed his smile.
"I'd like that."
But even as she said it, she was pulling away, standing in between his splayed thighs.
"We have all day and night."
She tugged him up by the hand.
"Let's not rush it, okay?"
He might have been disappointed if it wasn't for the wicked look Kira gave him over her shoulder as she led the way to the kitchen. It wasn't just a look. It was a promise of all the fun to come. Bennett had always liked snow, but this was already his favorite snowstorm ever.
Holy crap. Okay, so nice guys could kiss.
Kira welcomed the cool air of the kitchen on her overheated skin.
What the hell had just happened?
One minute they were watching her favorite crappy Christmas movie, and the next she was straddling Bennett and his mouth was on her neck. And it was good, like really good, like toe-curling good, and they still had all their clothes on. And in a totally uncharacteristic move, she'd stopped him. It had all happened so fast, she found herself wanting to make it last.
"Christ, it's freezing out here," Bennett's voice rumbled behind her as he followed her into the kitchen.
She turned and her breath caught at the sight of him, hair tousled from her fingers, cheeks pink, his stormy gray eyes on her. He smirked a little, like maybe he knew just how freaking hot he was, like he wasn't nearly as wholesome as Kira had imagined. "The blanket fort isn't the perfect solution," she said with a shrug, turning back to the cabinets, unable to face him for too long, especially not with the visible erection in his jeans. Holy shit, her storm preparations had not prepared her for this. "It was pretty clever, though," he said, and she heard the scrape of a kitchen chair against the old floorboards as he sat. She let out a self-deprecating laugh. "Every once in a while, I have a good idea." "I'm sure you have lots of good ideas." Kira snorted. "You don't know me very well." "I think I know you well enough." His voice coasted over her as she kept her eyes trained on the cabinet in front of her, as though it was taking a long time to choose between chicken noodle or vegetable soup. "I know you set this farm up all on your own," he went on. "I've seen plenty of your good ideas out there. It takes a lot of courage to start over." "Stop." She spun to face him. His eyebrows rose just a fraction. "You don't need to make up bullshit compliments to get in my pants." She tried to laugh, but it came out strained, his kind words doing weird things to her insides. "That's a done deal. You're in, okay? Just don't do that." "They're not bullshit compliments, Kira." She crossed her arms over her chest. "I made some really dumb decisions to get here. Let's not romanticize it." Bennett shifted in his chair, his gaze not leaving hers. "Let me ask you this. Why haven't you asked your family for a loan? From your stories, you clearly come from money. I'm sure your parents would pay for a new boiler." "No way. Why not?" Kira huffed. "You really want to know who I am, Bennett?" He nodded. "I am the reckless, spoiled daughter of an investment banker and his debutante wife. They were already rich because their parents were rich. I've spent most of my life assuming I could waltz through life doing whatever the hell I wanted because I could. My father's money meant I never had to think or care about anything. I treated people like crap for years because I could." She stalked closer, resting her hands on the kitchen table in front of him, but he didn't flinch. "While you were out helping old ladies cross the street, I was caring exclusively about myself. Elaine, that housekeeper I told you about, was working herself to the bone just to put her daughter through college. Kira, no." She shook her head. No, he wasn't going to convince her that she hadn't been a shitty human. Elaine had been making Kira's bed in between doing her two other jobs to make sure her daughter got an education. Something that Kira had completely taken for granted. Her college years had been nothing but parties and bad decisions. She never would have graduated if her family's name wasn't on the library. It was unacceptable. And the worst part was, Kira hadn't known any of this until Elaine had to call in sick for the first time since Kira knew her, and she only noticed then because she didn't like the way the new woman made her coffee in the morning. Crappy coffee was what made her pay attention to the fact that the woman who'd taken care of her home for most of her life was missing, was homesick. Sick because she'd worked herself too hard. Kira still hadn't forgiven herself for that. Even after making sure that tuition and room and board were covered for Elaine's daughter, it wasn't enough. Elaine had washed her clothes, fed her, and bailed her out of plenty of sticky situations over the years. And Kira had treated her like she was invisible. "But you're not like that anymore." Kira threw up her arms. "You've known me for 2 weeks, and I know that you're not that person that you're describing. Not anymore. You left." She sighed, feeling the fight go out of her. It was one thing for Bennett to be a nice guy, but now he was just being delusional. "I had to leave. Chloe left. I couldn't be there without her." Chloe had left, and Kira had become a broken half-person, a broken half-person with so little awareness of the people around her, she didn't even notice when they were working themselves to death. Moving here was a desperate attempt to find herself without her sister, to see if there was anything worth finding. And so far, she really wasn't sure there was. "What happened to the rest of your trust fund, Kira?"
"What do you mean?"
He shrugged. "If you're as rich as you say,
There's no way you'd be this broke now. There's no way this farm costs that much.
She tried to turn back to the soup cabinet, but Bennett grabbed her wrist, holding her in place, his eyes on her.
What'd you do with it?
I don't want to tell you.
Why not?
She sighed.
You're going to get the wrong idea.
What'd you do with it, Kira?
She blew out a long sigh.
I gave it away.
He smirked.
Gave it away to whom?
She rolled her eyes. He was getting this all wrong. She wasn't some kind of saint. Giving her money away had just been a new way to piss off her mother.
I gave it away to some women's and children's charities, and a few animal shelters.
She tried to wave it away, like the donations hadn't enraged her mother.
How will this look to our friends?
Her mother had asked. And by friends, she'd meant the conservative folks from the country club, who would not approve of funds going to single mothers and women's health care. They didn't care much about stray animals, either. Kira couldn't help but smile grimly at the memory.
See, Bennett said, smug as hell. You have plenty of good ideas.
His fingers were still curled around her wrist, his thumb tracing distracting circles over her pulse.
Maybe. Sometimes, she conceded. But it was the least I could do.
Other people would have done less.
Kira frowned. It still didn't feel like enough. But Bennett's warm gaze was making her feel like maybe she was on the right track. Like maybe she didn't have to punish herself forever.
Okay, but let's not pretend buying a farm, sight unseen, and thinking I could somehow figure out homesteading overnight was a good idea, she said, tired of unearthing her past.
He laughed. Okay, so maybe that wasn't your best one. But you're here now, making it work. She swallowed the lump of emotion in her throat. Why was she getting choked up about this?
Yes, well, can't go back now.
Brave.
She gave a slight shake of her head, and Bennett's fingers tightened on her wrist. He stood and pulled her closer.
Brave, clever girl, he said, brushing a kiss on her forehead.
Never in her life had she been called either of those words. Wild, stubborn, reckless, yes, but never brave, never clever.
Bennett's fingers left her wrist.
So, soup? He asked, moving past her, leaving her reeling from his assessment of her. Apparently, kissing wasn't the only thing nice guys were good at.
Chapter 17. The wind rattled the old windows, and from her spot on the couch, the view of the outside world was a blur of white and gray. This wasn't pretty Christmas card snow anymore. The storm lashed icy shards at the windows, and the wind shook the trees behind the old farmhouse. This was shut the roads down, stay indoors, and pray the power stayed on snow. Inside, the fire crackled cheerfully in the fireplace, and Kira was thankful for the delivery of firewood she'd ordered back in the fall, and that she wasn't alone. Bennett's phone buzzed on the coffee table, rattling their empty soup bowls. He'd gone to the bathroom, and his phone had buzzed at least 5 times in the 2 minutes he'd been gone. Maybe she should check it. Maybe it was an emergency. Maybe her foot might accidentally nudge it off the coffee table, and she might have to pick it up. Just as her toe brushed the edge of his phone, Bennett came in through the blankets. She pulled her foot back and tucked it underneath her. Bad foot.
I really hope you sell a lot of trees. It is not pleasant using the bathroom right now.
Kira laughed. Yeah, I know, right? Bennett sat down next to her, but he didn't reach for his phone. Curiosity was killing her.
Your phone was buzzing a lot while you were gone.
Really? I let Jeannie know where I was, and I canceled all my meetings for the day. His voice trailed off as he looked at his phone. Clearly, the messages were not from his sister or his job. He frowned at the screen, and then put the phone back on the table face down, without answering whoever it was.
You can answer if you need to, she said, dying to ask more. I don't mind if you need to be on your phone.
I don't need to answer. His tone left no room for questions.
Oh. Wind's getting bad, he said, gazing out the window.
That wasn't your wife or anything, right? Kira said with a laugh, thinking maybe teasing him would get him to let her in on who was texting him. I mean, nice guys don't make out with people when they have wives back in California, right?
Right?
Her laughter petered off when she saw the stricken look on his face.
Bennett, please tell me you're not married.
As much as she'd looked for trouble in the past, she'd never fooled around with a married man. It was a line she refused to cross, pretty much the only line. And now, here she was, making out with a man she thought was a nice guy, who was very clearly hiding something, and she was right back where she started. But this was worse. At least the guys she'd been with in the past never kept it a secret that they were assholes. They never pretended to be sweet or helpful. They never plied her with kind words and lulled her into a false sense of security.
Oh, no, the guys she'd slept with in the past had never hidden the fact that they had no intention of staying, no intention of being reliable or trustworthy or really anything other than a quick fling, designed primarily to piss her mother off. And they'd been good at it, and that had been their entire appeal. But here was Bennett acting all sweet and good and nice to her. And she'd let him in. She'd started liking him. For once in her life, she'd chosen a man's company because she actually liked him as a person and not as a means to an end. Only to have it end like this, with Bennett hiding something huge from her? She should have known. There was no such thing as a good guy. But she'd actually thought Bennett was different. I'm not married.
Oh. She blew out a sigh, the rage seeping from her body, before another thought crossed her mind. Engaged? Got a girlfriend back home? I may have been a shitty person in the past, but that is not something I would ever...
He grabbed her wrists, his fingers on her racing pulse again. She shouldn't care this much about him, but she did.
Not engaged. No girlfriend.
Oh. Okay. So...
Her gaze drifted back to the discarded phone, and Bennett dropped her wrists with a sigh.
You're not the only one that makes bad decisions sometimes.
So, it's a bad decision calling you? She asked.
Bennett's mouth tipped up in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
And does this bad decision have a name?
Nicole.
Nicole.
He nodded, looking more pained than she'd seen him since the, oh, you already have a shovel incident.
And Nicole isn't a girlfriend or a fiancé or a wife?
He shook his head. Not anymore. Not for a long time, actually.
Kira leaned back in the pillows, waiting for him to go on. She'd told him all the ugly bits about herself. She deserved a story or two about Bennett's messy love life.
She raised an expectant eyebrow. A part of her recognized her gesture as something her mother used to do when she was waiting for an explanation about Kira's latest exploits, but she wasn't going to think about that right now. Besides, the eyebrow always worked. He sighed again.
It's kind of embarrassing, actually.
Embarrassing? She asked, even more intrigued than before. She'd love to hear something embarrassing about this almost too perfect man, and she'd love to hear an explanation for why this woman was blowing up his phone.
So you didn't break poor Nicole's heart? She broke yours?
Bennett glanced back at the windows.
Maybe the storm's not that bad. I could probably make it home.
Kira smacked his arm. You're not going anywhere. Now spill it. He huffed an embarrassed laugh.
Tale as old as time, really. I was into her way more than she was into me. I followed her across the country, and then she ditched me.
When?
Bennett winced.
5 years ago.
5 years ago? Why didn't you go back home?
No one knew I went to California for a girl. They thought I went for a job. I couldn't come back.
Kira frowned.
I've met your sister. She loves having you here. I'm pretty sure you could have gone home or come here.
Probably. Bennett let his head lean back on the couch cushions, and Kira watched his throat muscles as he swallowed. But at the time, it felt like I couldn't.
That doesn't explain why Nicole of 5 years ago is texting you now.
He closed his eyes. Well, it gets worse.
Uh-oh.
Every year or so, we kind of end up back together again, but not really together. He pinched the bridge of his nose. She usually needs something from me.
Oh, Bennett. No wonder he was acting so weird this morning. His ex was trying to slide back into his life, and he was trying to fight every Mr. Fix-It instinct in his body. He had a history of being taken advantage of. Did he worry she would do the same thing? The last thing she wanted to do was hurt him, but she didn't have a lot of practice being nice.
I know. I'm a complete sucker. Nicole calls and I come running, every damn time.
If you were in California right now, he swallowed, his Adam's apple bobbing in his throat.
She doesn't like to be alone for the holidays.
And what do you get out of all this? Kira huffed, irrationally angry at a woman she'd never met. How dare she drag this sweet man along all these years? Even someone with a damaged moral compass like herself could see that Bennett didn't deserve that. He lifted a shoulder in a defeated half-shrug.
I usually get a few weeks of sex, a date to my office holiday party, and a New Year's resolution not to let it happen again once she runs off. I told you, it's embarrassing.
Do you love her?
The question slipped out. She shouldn't care if he loved her. As long as he and this Nicole person weren't together at the moment, she could sleep with him, guilt-free. Why should she care what he did when he got back to California? Despite all that, she waited with her breath stuck in her throat. His eyes stayed shut, his head tipped back, and she thought he wouldn't answer. Or worse, maybe he would confess to being in love with Nicole, and then what? They play Parcheesi the rest of the afternoon and sleep on separate ends of the couch? Not nearly as fun as the day she'd envisioned. But then he sat up and faced her, his gray eyes clear and honest. No, I don't love her. Breath rushed back into her lungs. Relief.
Oh,
I don't think I have for a long time.
Well, then, maybe it's good you're here to, you know, break the pattern.
His gaze held hers. It's definitely good that I'm here. He reached for his phone and turned it off, the cocky little smile returning to his lips. There's nowhere else I'd rather be.
Kira's smile was involuntary, immediate, and wide.
Bennett returned it, and that was the last thing she saw clearly before the power went out.
Shit.
Kira's voice was breathy, with a hint of fear in it.
I'm guessing you don't have a backup generator.
He could see her scowling at him even in the dim lighting. It was late afternoon, and between the storm and the early sunset, the room was nearly completely dark now that the lights had gone out.
Of course not. I don't have a backup anything. I barely have an upfront anything.
He huffed a laugh. It'll be fine. We have the fire and all these blankets.
He fluffed the pile of blankets between them. Kira looked at him, a highly skeptical look on her face.
We'll starve.
Kira, you have a gas stove.
So,
it'll still work. And I don't think you can starve in a 24-hour period.
Maybe you can't.
He laughed again. How about a flashlight or candles?
She perked up at that, her eyes big in the semi-darkness. I have candles upstairs.
She grabbed his hand and pulled him up from the couch. Come with me. It's scary up in the dark.
He followed her out of the cozy warmth of the living room and up the stairs to the second floor. The stairs groaned with every step. Kira still held tight to his hand as she led the way. He hated to think that if he hadn't come back, she'd have been here by herself, scared. She'd obviously have been fine, but he hated it anyway. She led him down the hall to the last bedroom. They should be in here somewhere. It was the only bedroom with furniture. A bed in the center, a dresser, two bedside tables. But the room didn't feel lived in. "You don't have sheets on the bed," he observed, as Kira rummaged through a dresser drawer for candles. "I don't sleep in here. Too cold." "Where do you sleep, then?" "Living room. On the couch." "The couch?" He was trying very hard to swallow his thoughts on Kira sleeping on the couch, but it had been a long day. A day filled with unplanned confessions and rapidly shifting barometric pressure. And Bennett was tired of suppressing his natural instincts. He liked Kira. A lot. Too much, probably. But he did. And he showed people he cared about them by taking care of them. It was just who he was, damn it. And just because Nicole had abused that side of him didn't mean he needed to get rid of it completely. And just sleeping on the couch? Because she was cold? In this fucking drafty old house by herself? He couldn't stand it. "I'm bringing this mattress downstairs." Kira turned from the dresser, her arms filled with candles in varying sizes and shapes. Her brows rose until they vanished beneath her bangs. "Excuse me, you're doing what?" "Don't argue with me about this, Kira. I'm bringing the mattress downstairs. You can set it up on the floor in the living room. It'll be more comfortable." He was already tugging the mattress off the box spring. "Bennett, I said, don't argue." "Ha! Okay, you said it, so obviously I will just agree with you." He sighed, lowering the corner of the mattress. "Please." His voice was rough and raw, and this mattress meant way more than it should right now, but it did. He just realized that he didn't want Nicole anymore. He didn't love her anymore. And all he wanted was the woman in front of him, and he didn't know what to do about it. All he knew was he needed this mattress downstairs. He needed Kira warm. He probably needed therapy, but that was an issue for another day. "Please, please let me do this for you." Kira stood in front of him, her mouth slightly open, like, for once, she didn't know what to say. So he lifted the mattress again, tipping it to its side, so he could shove it through the bedroom door. He pushed it out, angling it, to get it down the hall. Kira followed behind him, still in silent shock. The stairs were a bit trickier, but he was a man on a mission now, and he managed it, not entirely gracefully, but he managed it. Kira didn't speak again until the coffee table was pushed aside and the mattress was laid out on the living room floor, right in front of the fireplace, the warmest spot in the whole damn house. "Show off," Kira muttered as she arranged the candles on the mantel and the side table next to the couch. And he couldn't help his smile. He grabbed the pack of matches by the fireplace and started lighting the candles. "This candle smells like meat cute? What does that even mean? Lilac, champagne, and citrus, apparently. Chloe got me that set. Morally gray, enemies to lovers, grumpy slash sunshine," he read off the other candle labels. "Slow burn. Well, at least that one makes sense for a candle." He set the last candle down and found Kira laughing at him. "Here, this one suits you best," she said, handing him a candle with cinnamon roll written on the side. He sniffed it. "Smells good. Still don't get what any of it means, though." "Doesn't matter." Kira shook her head, her laughter petering out. "But you should probably pay more attention when your sister talks about books." "Books? I thought we were talking about baked goods." She patted his arm as she made her way around the mattress that was now taking up most of the room. "Nope. Romance tropes." "Romance, huh? So is a cinnamon roll like a sex thing? Is there frosting involved?" He waggled his eyebrows, and Kira laughed harder. "Sounds sticky," she said, wrinkling her nose, as though she didn't like the idea. But Bennett's mind was already happily imagining a naked Kira with vanilla icing drizzled over her body and his tongue tracing the pattern. "Help me with this," her distressed plea broke through his inappropriate but delicious daydream. At that moment, a fully dressed Kira was struggling to put a fitted sheet on the mattress. Every time she pulled one corner, the other popped up.
Would it kill the fitted sheet makers of the world to make them a tiny bit bigger?
Kira groaned in frustration.
It's times like this I miss Elaine. That woman was a treasure.
Bennett laughed and grabbed one corner while she took the other, and together they managed to tug it over the mattress. Once the sheet was on, Kira collapsed, arms and legs out like a starfish in the middle of the bed. The firelight gilded the side of her face, dancing gold over her dark hair. She grinned up at him.
Well, I don't know where you're sleeping tonight. I take up a lot of space.
I'll take the couch. His response was so fast that Kira's eyebrows rose in surprise. A frown crossed her beautiful face.
I was kidding.
Kira, I don't want you to think. Kira cut him off before he could cock-block himself any further. The last thing he wanted to do was sleep on the damn couch.
Let's agree that overthinking anything that happens during this storm is a bad idea, okay?
She bit her bottom lip, her gaze meeting his again.
Let's just live in the moment.
Live in the moment, huh?
Yeah. Let's pretend there's nothing outside these walls. Nothing after tonight. We don't have to worry about the consequences. This storm, this day, it's a free pass.
A free pass. God, what a tempting thought. A purely selfish moment. He'd wanted Kira North since he first saw her on the farm wrapped in her duvet, and now he could have her. For today, for this storm, for this moment. And he didn't have to wonder what would happen after, or who would have to uproot their life for whom, or when she would get bored of him and leave. There would be none of that. Only today.
Kira stared up at him from the mattress. He was still kneeling beside it after helping her with the sheet. He could tumble into bed with her and stay there for the rest of the night. He could have his perfect Christmas gift. He didn't know what it was about this girl that had him so into her after knowing her for such a short time. But no, that wasn't true, was it? He knew exactly what it was. It was the way she sparred with him, teased him, and didn't back down. It was the way she decided to change her life and then actually did it. It was the way she smiled at him like that, like he'd earned it.
So, what do you say? She asked, hesitation seeping into her question.
He leaned forward, bracketing her body with his arms, his legs straddling hers.
I say, I told you so.
About what?
He let his mouth tip into a smile. About you being full of good ideas.
Kira's smile grew then, the uncertainty leaving her face.
Yeah?
He dipped his head, letting his chest brush against hers, and he felt her breath catch. He kissed the corner of her mouth.
Definitely.
Kira blew out a dramatic sigh.
Oh, good. I was worried you were going to go all nice guy on me and refuse to take advantage of me or something.
Bennett huffed a laugh as he nuzzled behind Kira's ear, placing another kiss on the soft skin he found there.
Do you want me to act like a nice guy? He asked, lowering his hips and pressing lightly into hers.
She squirmed a little beneath him.
No. No, he asked, teasing, brushing against her center again.
No, I don't want you to be a nice guy right now, Bennett.
He smiled against her throat.
Good.
Chapter 18. Bennett's chuckle rumbled through her body, the vibration echoing in her toes. Her legs were wrapped around his middle, and his mouth was on her neck, and all she could think was, thank God, because she really needed this. She needed out of her head and out of this new life just for a freaking second. She needed a break, a day off from everything. She needed to just be. And at the moment, the best place to just be was underneath Bennett's body. How had she not noticed how broad he was, how solid? She was still reeling from him single-handedly wrestling her pillow-top mattress down the stairs like it was his life's mission. And now the feel of him between her thighs, strong and sure, it seemed insane that she ever had underestimated Ben and Alice.
"Does anyone ever call you Ben?" she asked, raking her fingers through his hair.
He raised his head, a half-smile on his lips.
"Some people."
"Can I call you Ben?"
His smile grew.
"Only if I get to call you a nickname."
His answer was suspiciously fast, as though he'd already given this some thought. Had Bennett been thinking about her that much? As much as she'd been thinking about him? She liked that idea probably more than she should.
"I don't have any nicknames." She let her fingers trail across his shoulders, and he shivered a little against her.
"No nicknames, huh?
Well, Chloe calls me Kiki, but that's off limits."
He dipped his head again, kissing along her throat. She arched into him and he groaned, the sound rumbling through her.
"Peaches," he murmured against her skin.
"No way."
He was grinning when he lifted his head again.
"My little Georgia peach.
Absolutely not." She hadn't even told him about her traumatic pageant past, and still he'd landed on that nickname. Wonderful.
"It's perfect." He ran his nose along her skin. "You're soft and sweet, just like a peach.
And fuzzy, and I bruise easily?"
He laughed, and she was starting to like that sound a little too much, like she might want to hear it past today, like she might want it in her life permanently.
"Okay, point taken. I'll work on it," he said, his smile softening.
The glow of the fire and the candlelight flickering across the ceiling cast him in yellows and golds. His hair was disheveled, undone. His body was still wrapped around hers, warm and safe. She didn't say it out loud, but at this moment, she felt like she would let Bennett call her pretty much anything. She might even let him call her his. For today. For tonight. For as long as the storm lasted. Because that was what they had agreed on. That was the only way this made sense. He lived in California, and now, for better or worse, she lived here.
"Kiss me," she said,
the safest thing she could say. Bennett's lips met hers without hesitation, without a second thought. She asked, and he answered. She opened, and he met her tongue with his. And then she was drowning in it, in this kiss, in Bennett. His breath was hers. His heartbeat matched her own. His body heat was seeping into her chilled bones. Had she ever been warm enough before this moment? It was a kiss unlike any other. A kiss that left her melted into the mattress, a vaguely Kira-shaped puddle. She gasped, coming up for air, and Bennett sucked and nipped at her neck as she breathed in and breathed out and clawed at his back and pulled him closer and arched against him and wanted more and more and more.
"I want you naked," he rasped between kisses. "Can't stop thinking about it. About you."
He was just as frantic as she was, his mouth hot and insistent on hers, his hips moving against her like he couldn't help himself.
"Okay, yes," Kira panted, pushing against his chest. "I want that too."
He lifted off of her, but then dipped again, kissing and nipping at her lips like he couldn't stop. Kira felt the same way. She was dizzy with it, with this fire between them. Finally, tearing himself away, Bennett sat back on his heels. His breath was coming nearly as fast as hers, his cheeks flushed red. His hair stood up where Kira had been tugging on it. He looked wild, nothing like the mild-mannered Clark Kent she'd met in the fields a couple of weeks ago. He looked debauched, and like he had a list of ways to do the same to her running through his mind.
"You can't stop thinking about me naked?" she asked, sitting up to face him.
She still couldn't resist an opportunity to tease him, just a little. That new cocky smirk tipped the corner of his mouth. It was so different from the perfect tooth smile he'd given her at first. This one was secret. Bedroom Bennett. She liked it.
"It's becoming a problem, actually.
Oh, yeah? Distracting. Poor Bennett.
Take your clothes off, Peaches. He practically growled the command. Maybe she didn't hate that name as much as she first thought. Unless you want me to do it. You know how I love to help. The smile was downright wicked now, and Kira was starting to think that Nicole must have had some sort of head injury, because why on earth would you let go of a man who was so darn sweet out of bed and so damn hot in bed? Why would you walk away from that? Well, it was her loss. Kira smiled. And you know I have to insist on doing things myself. She tugged the sweater over her head and tossed it aside. Unfortunately, she'd been freezing when she got dressed today, so she had to pull off two more layers before she was finally in just her bra. The slight delay did nothing to put out the fire in Bennett's gaze, though. God damn, Kira, he cursed, and she liked that, too. Keep going. His voice was a husky rasp, and the sound of it licked across her bare skin. I can't reach the clasp. His gaze darkened. Will you do it? She asked. His hand was on her hip, tugging her closer before the question was even out of her mouth. At your service, he whispered, his breath skating across her cheek as he leaned in, his hands reaching behind her back. Her eyes fluttered closed as each hook came free. Slowly, too slowly, his fingers trailed up to one strap, sliding it down her shoulder. He took the other strap down, too, letting the bra fall between them. And then he stopped. Kira whimpered, but he still didn't touch her. They stayed locked like that, kneeling in front of each other, his lips brushing across her cheek. Kira thought she would combust. She breathed deep, and her nipples brushed against the front of his shirt. Bennett, she groaned. Yes. Touch me. And like her words were magic, his hands were on her, tracing the lines of her curves. He cupped her breast, letting his thumb run lightly back and forth over her nipple. Kira ignited. His forehead dropped to hers and her eyes closed. His touch was firm, confident, like he knew exactly what he wanted to do to her, like he'd imagined it before. Heat pooled between Kira's thighs. God, they'd barely done anything yet. But Bennett's hand on her breast, his other clamped tight to her hip, holding her in place, was already making her crazy for him, for more. Take off the rest, he rumbled. I want to see all of you. He pulled away, his gaze dark and hungry on her body. There didn't seem to be a point to playing coy now. She wanted him just as badly as he wanted her. She slipped off her fleece-lined leggings and panties in one move. By the time she had her cozy socks off and was back to kneeling naked in front of Bennett, he was looking at her like a man destroyed, like she'd just ruined his entire life by taking her clothes off. Kira, he said, squeezing his eyes shut and giving a quick shake of his head. When he reopened his eyes, they held her gaze. I've never seen anything so beautiful in my life as you right now. You're unreal. Kira swallowed the emotion rising hot and fast in her throat. She'd had men tell her she was sexy before, or hot, or even beautiful, but never like that. Never like Bennett. She tried a smile, but her lips felt wobbly, her whole body felt wobbly, off kilter because of this sweet man's words. I'm real. She grabbed his big hand and put it back on her hip. His fingers flexed, digging into her flesh. See? She whispered. Yeah, I see. He tugged her close, his hand moving to grab her ass, the other buried in her hair. You're real, and so gorgeous. He tipped her head, and she could see the storm building in his eyes. A whimper escaped her lips, and he smirked. I'm going to spend the rest of the day taking care of you. And for once, Kira didn't argue. How was the real Kira even better than the one he'd made up in his head? Bennett wasn't sure, but holy shit, she was. All long limbs and glowing skin, he wanted to lick every damn inch of her. Maybe it was because he'd only ever seen her in layers of sweaters or bulky parkas or queen-size comforters. But the sight of her completely bare in front of him felt like a gift, a miracle, like something he didn't deserve and had no right to ask for, but was so damn happy to receive.
"Now you," Kira tugged at the bottom of his Henley. "I want to ogle you, too."
He chuckled as he pulled the shirt over his head, loving that she hadn't suddenly changed her personality just because they were about to have sex. He had a feeling that Kira would be Kira no matter where she landed or who she was with. And that was refreshing as hell. Kira ran her hands over his chest, a little purr of appreciation running through her.
"No wonder you're never cold," she said, her fingers trailing across his chest hair. "You have fur," she said with a teasing smile.
And it didn't feel anything like the summer Nicole convinced him to wax his chest, and he'd nearly lost a nipple in the process. He wasn't that hairy a guy, but he'd been self-conscious about it ever since. Not enough to let any woman come at him with hot wax again, but still. It helped that she had leaned in again and ran her tongue along the edge of his ear after she said it.
"You're really hot," she whispered, "for a tech guy with a fixer complex."
He ran his hand down her back, letting his palm coast over the perfect curve of her ass. He thought about giving it a little smack, but he squeezed it instead and pulled her closer.
"And you're really hot for a spoiled little rich girl with a heart of gold."
Her laugh vibrated through him, and he nearly joined in, but Kira's fingers at his waistband stopped the laughter in his throat.
"Now these," she murmured, her fingers following the trail of dark hair below his belt. His entire body shivered and she grinned. "Take your pants off for real this time."
He didn't hesitate. His hands replaced hers at his waistband, and he quickly ditched the jeans he'd thrown in her dryer just that morning. This morning already seemed like forever ago. This morning, when he thought it would be best to stay away from Kira. Ha! Now he was on his way to being as close to Kira as humanly possible, and it felt exactly right. Maybe it was because there was no future here, no worries about what would happen next. Or maybe it was because Kira was the most genuine person he'd met in a long time. But this moment felt like exactly where he was supposed to be. And he was pretty sure that wasn't just his cock talking, although it was currently straining against the front of his boxers, like it couldn't wait another damn minute. Kira felt him through his boxers, her hand wrapping around him, and he trembled again.
"You are just one pleasant surprise after another," she said, that flirty smile on her face again.
She stroked him, the fabric bunching beneath her fist, and pleasure shot through him, hot and urgent and aching. Bennett's legs shook with the effort not to pounce and pin her to the mattress. She grinned, like she knew exactly what he was thinking.
"Don't be nice," she whispered,
and Bennett's restraint snapped. She was under him, her hands pinned above her head before his brain could register what he was doing. She let out a breathy gasp, her cheeks pink and eyes wide.
"You like that?"
he asked, his grip tightening on her wrists just slightly, just to see how into this she was. She whimpered, her breath short and fast. She was into it, but he needed to hear it. He needed her to tell him. They barely knew each other. He needed her permission to let loose, to be free with her.
"Yes."
She raised her head, capturing his mouth with hers. She bit his bottom lip and he growled, pinning her hips with his.
"Yes, I like that. Don't be gentle with me, Bennett. Don't treat me like I'll break."
He held her gaze, feeling the fluttery pulse in her wrist against his palm.
"Say stop and I will."
"Okay.
I mean it, at any time."
"I know you will." Her trust in him nearly did him in. He hadn't felt that in a long time. Sex had been purely transactional lately. Both parties were just there to get off. But this felt different. Even if it was just for today, it felt like they fit. His hands on Kira's body just made sense in a way nothing had in a long time. And now that he had her here, he wanted every inch of her. He released her wrists, noticing the slight flicker of surprise in her eyes when he did, like she thought he would just pound into her without taking the time to experience every last thing about her. Like the way her back arched when he flicked his tongue over her nipple, one sweet peak and then the other. Or the way she moaned when he sucked it into his mouth. Like he would have missed out on the feel of her thighs beneath his fingers, or the hitch in her breath when he demanded she open her legs for him. Like Bennett would have ever skipped tasting Kira, licking her until she was his new favorite flavor. Never. There was no way in hell he was going to miss Kira moaning his name, her fingers clawing at his shoulders as he kissed her center, his tongue swirling around that sweet bundle of nerves that made her ankles dig into his back.
Ben, damn it, you're good at that, too.
He paused, looking up at her from his position between her thighs. Does that bother you? He asked with a grin. Kira looked back at him over the long, golden expanse of her naked body. She huffed.
A little. She pushed his head back down. But keep going.